Grace of the Lord Jesus be with you this morning as we gather together on this Sunday, this fifth Sunday in Easter, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements to share with you. As indicated in the bulletin, we are preparing to have our June picnic or Sunday school picnic, which will be Saturday, June 18th. That is when it is planned. It is going to be at Burholm Park. And we're planning on being there from 12 to 5 p.m. If the weather permits. But it should be a wonderful time of fellowship and just coming together and enjoying this beautiful time of year. So that is going to be on June the 18th. Saturday, June 18th from 12 to 5 p.m. Also, as we mentioned before, we plan to have Vacation Bible School this year. It will be on July the 19th. We're still very much appreciate anyone who could come out and be a part of that. Still looking for teachers and volunteers and others, and that is going to be on Tuesday, July the 19th through Thursday, July the 21st. So please mark that down on your calendar. If you want to come out and participate in that, please let us know. If you know kids who would like to be a part of that, please bring them for Vacation Bible School in July, July 19th through the 21st. Please, again, make sure that you read your bulletins and go to our webpage to stay abreast of everything happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church, particularly as we begin our summer programming.
Scripture this morning is from the 148th chapter of Psalms. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all the angels. Praise him, all the host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all depths, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers from the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation. We'll be reading from chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 6. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. One of my earliest memories as a teenager was frantically scrambling, trying to get the house cleaned before my mother got home. During the summertime, me and my siblings had pretty much had the run of the house while my mother was at work, and we took advantage of that opportunity. We would invite our friends over. We would sometimes have popcorn parties, and all kinds of things would happen. But then, right around 2:30, 3 o'clock, we'd kick everybody out and make a mad scramble to make sure that the house was clean and straightened up for my mother when she came home. The last thing we wanted was for the house to be in a state of disarray when my mother came home from work. Wanted to make sure that things were in order when my mother came home. The book of Revelation is about that. The book of Revelation this morning is about God coming home, about God coming to dwell in our midst. Every indication is that this world, this beautiful world that God has created, this world is some kind of a temple. A temple where God was to take God's rest. A temple where God's presence is all in all. A temple where all of creation is in the business of constantly praising God. As we heard from Psalm 48 that Bill read, everyone, everything, every living creature praising God in God's home. The problem, of course, is that we human beings, because of our sinfulness and waywardness, have defiled this temple. We have made this place an uninhabitable place for a holy God. And so the whole creation presently, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of the Romans, is groaning and travail under the burden of futility and decay. Groaning and waiting for its liberation. And yet the good news is, as we heard in our passage from the book of Revelation this morning, is that God will one day come and dwell in our midst. God will one day pitch God's tent among us in the midst of this world. God, in other words, is planning one day to come home and dwell in the midst of God's creation. Growing up, two of my favorite books in the Bible were the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. The book of Genesis, because it told us how everything began. It began in a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, this beautiful garden that God created in the midst of God's good world, this beautiful garden that God placed his human creatures in. And of course, the other book was the book of Revelation, because it told us how everything was going to end. It was going to end in a beautiful city, the new Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem, God's city. That's how everything was going to end. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about the end. It's about the end game. Usually when we think about the end, when we think about the end game, we think of ourselves going home to God. That's what we often say during funerals. We say that the loved one has gone home. That's true, of course, as far as it goes, but when our lives come to an end, we will go be with the Lord. But the great biblical narrative is not so much about us going home to God, but it's about God coming home to us. It's about God dwelling in our midst. And when God comes to dwell among us, God is going to make all things new. That's what John sees in his powerful vision in the book of Revelation. He sees a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. We live very much in a throwaway society, a throwaway world. I was talking to my shoe repair man several months ago, and he was telling me back in the day shoes were made of sturdier stuff. When you invested in a good pair of shoes, you took care of them because they usually cost you a considerable sum, and so you wanted to take care of them. You wanted to make sure that they looked nice, and whenever you wore them down a little bit, instead of throwing them away, you took them in and you had them repaired. But he said that today the quality of shoes are not are much to be desired, and most people buy shoes and wear them out, and after they get finished with them, they just throw them away. Throw them away and get a whole new pair. That's the way we do in a lot of the things that we purchase. We wear them out and then we just throw them away. And I used to think that's what all this talk about newness is about in the book of Revelation. When it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, it was talking about God's intention to throw this old world away and create a whole new world. But the Greek word there means not just new, but it also means renew. It means transformed. It means that God plans not to throw this world away, but God plans to renew it. God plans to transform it. God plans to make it more real than it is right now. Think of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, where the new Narnia is not a different place than the old Narnia, but the new Narnia is a renewed Narnia. It's a transformed Narnia. It's a Narnia that is even more real than it was before. Think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus himself, where the resurrected Lord is not a different Jesus, but a renewed Jesus, a transformed Jesus, a Jesus that was even more real and glorious than was before. And what God has done for Jesus, God has promised to do for you. God has promised to do for me. He promises to do for the whole creation. Because God plans to make this world God's home. He plans to make all things new. One day there's going to be a new you, a you that's even more real than what you are right now. That's the promise. And a new creation, a renewed creation, a transformed creation. I acknowledge, of course, that if God plans to throw this world away, it would make it much easier for us. We could continue apace on our current trajectory of treating the world and the rest of creation just like we treat each other. That is, we can exploit the world, we can destroy it, we can poison it, we can wipe much of it out, destroy its biodiversity. We can do all of that in our mad pursuit to live our lives as if we had no limits. I was reading the other day about a whale that washed up in the Philippines a couple of years ago that was found to have 88 pounds of plastic in its stomach. The article pointed out that it encapsulates the planetary crises that we are currently in, where many of the Earth's creatures are being destroyed by human recklessness. Norman Wurzbow, who was a professor of theology and ecology at Duke Divinity School, says that if ever there's been a time to get busy with the work of building communities and economies that will help the Earth be a livable home, now, he says, is the time to do that. But he doubts that we'll be able to do it because we live in an era of what the writer Amitav Ghosh calls the Great Derangement. And by that he means that our modern imaginations have been so warped, so deranged, so stifled that we can't even begin to initiate the conversation, let alone to take the necessary steps to save the planet from ourselves. And so he wonders if that whole host of creatures that we read about from Psalm 48 will even be around to praise God, to give God praise. God created this world. God created you and me. God created all the living creatures. God said that it was good. They were created to praise God and give God praise. And yet, our current trajectory is one that imperils and threatens God's good creation. But the good news this morning is that God is not going to throw this good creation away. God has no intention of discarding God's good creation. The good news is that God is going to make all things new, because God's intention is to make this world God's home. God's intention is to come to dwell in our midst, to be with us, to be in this world, to tabernacle with us. I like what the book of Revelation says about how God intends to renew the world, about how God intends to transform the world when God comes home. It says that when God comes home, there will be no more sea. When I first read that, I was a little bit concerned. I grew up, of course, in Missouri. Missouri's kind of landlocked. There's no ocean near where I grew up. There's no sea near where I grew up. But I always have a special place in the sea. I wouldn't want to see the sea disappear, just like I don't want to see the sea despoiled and polluted. But the book of Revelation says there's going to be no more sea. In biblical times, of course, the sea was associated with chaos. It was associated with evil. People were terrified of the sea, especially the early Israelites. They were terrified of the sea. They saw the sea as being a part of the end of everything. And so they were terrified by the sea. And at the time the book of Revelation was written, the sea, particularly the Mediterranean Sea, was the realm of commerce and traffic. It was the place where commerce was trafficked and where Rome commenced its great commercial activity, often trading in goods that exploited the peoples around them. Sometimes the very goods that were traded and exploited and trafficked were slaves. And so that whole commercial realm on the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, was something that was often seen as exploitative and unjust. But the book of Revelation says that when God comes home, there's going to be no more of any of that. When God comes home, there's going to be no more sea. There's going to be no more chaos. There's going to be no more fear. There's going to be no more evil. It's all going to be done. It says when God comes home, there's going to be no more mourning, no more crying, no more death, no more tears. Think about that. No more crying, nothing that causes tears will be in God's good creation. No more war like the war we see right now in the Ukraine. No more injustice like the injustice we see right now in the Middle East. No more disease. No more pandemic. No more funerals. No more lives being cut short. No more death. It's going to be no more. It's going to be all gone. When God comes home, when God pitches God's tent and dwells among us. And a little later in chapter 21, we are told that there's going to be no more temple when God comes home. That concerned me too a little bit because I like temples. I like temples. I like churches. I like places of worship. There ought to be a place of worship on every corner, a place where the worship of God is dedicated to, where God's presence is felt. But the book of Revelation says that when God comes home, there's going to be no more of that, no more temple. There's going to be no more temple because the world itself is going to be a temple. The world itself is going to be filled with the presence of God. There's going to be no need for any of that because God's presence will be all in all. No more temple. Only the glorious, gracious presence of God in our midst. Doesn't that make you excited? Doesn't that make you feel wonderful that the world, the end of the world is not just an event, but the end of everything is a person. The end of everything is a holy God who wants nothing else but to come and to be with us, to come and dwell in our midst. That's who God is, the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And because we know that God is the end of everything, we don't have to despair anymore. We don't have to be racked with anxiety. We don't have to be crestfallen. We don't have to despair. We don't have to do any of that because we know the end. The book of Revelation gives us an alternative view of reality. It gives us an alternative view of reality so that we can have the courage to begin to live right now towards God's coming future. And that's what the good news is all about. The good news is about the end. It's about God coming and putting an end to all of the chaos and evil and hurt and pain. God coming to put an end to death itself. God coming to put an end to all of that by dwelling in our midst. It's about God coming home. That's what you and I are called to get ready for. God coming home. God making all things new. God dwelling in our midst. God is coming to be with us. Coming to pitch God's tent in the midst of our world. Y'all need to help me clean. Y'all need to help me get ready. Y'all need to help us to get this world ready for God coming home and dwelling with us and healing this old world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we too readily give up. We give up on the great future that you have before us, that you have given us. We allow ourselves to be swayed by dystopian visions of the future. We've allowed our imaginations to be warped by images of the destruction of this beautiful world that you have made. We give our lives over to modes of living that prevent us from beginning to walk in ways that are more life-affirming and affirming of your good creation. We allow our lives to continue to be shaped by the forces and powers of death. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see what John the Seer sees. Help us to see the end. Help us to see your coming gracious presence in the midst of our world. And help us to truly believe what the future holds. That one day all the powers of death and destruction and decay and bondage will be no more. And when that happens, we will all give praise and glory to your holy name as we worship you in the midst of your temple. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.